Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
All right, look, we're in the same room. We're in front of each other again. None of this crazy super technology needed to get this to work.
Welcome back to American soil.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to another Not a Thing podcast. Thanks everyone for tuning in or downloading in or.
Loading in.
I don't.
That doesn't sound right.
No, I don't know. You don't really download it either. At least I don't. I have it like iTunes. Just kind of.
Thanks for subscribing, but yeah. With like an apostrophe.
Yes.
Subscribing.
Yeah. Kind of a point and a wink. Hey, like a little bit of
no.
No. Okay. Hey. Wasn't that I'm trying to make a desperate connection to our first topic. I have this sense, but I'm not sure if it's true, that Happy Days was an ABC property, which ABC is now a Disney property, and now apparently another Disney property is the movie studio special effects art house that is Lucasfilm.
That little company.
Yeah.
That little $4.05 billion company.
they had a good run. They did a couple, really only two really good movies. You know, they did kind of like Star Wars and Indiana Jones. You know, just two little things.
What about THX-1138? What about American Graffiti?
Yep. All sorts of good stuff, actually. So... for those listening to this in the end of October, not at the end of October 2012, what we're referring to is Disney buying Lucasfilm, essentially, out from under George. Well, I think he was.
I think he's getting quite the payday.
He was complicit. Yeah. But yes, that's it's wild. I mean, the Disney kind of. Media conglomerate. I mean, not talking about like the parks, even, you know, just Disney, the movie like company, is huge, and they own so much.
I guess their strategy's got to be, if you can't beat them, buy them.
Yeah.
Take you get another step to corner the nerd market.
Yes.
After Pixar and Marvel and now Lucas, if they take DC, I don't know what's going to be left standing.
Or, you know, work it out with Paramount to buy Star Trek from them, and then Star Trek and Star Wars would be in the same room.
I can't. No. Yeah,
that may not happen.
I can't imagine Star Trek without Paramount.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I sit down and see a new Star Trek or watch a Star Trek, you see that mountain and the stars.
The mountain with the stars round, going round in a circle over the thing. Yeah, so there were a lot of interesting things that came out of the press release anyway that I'd seen for the announcement. Like one of them was that apparently there's a new Star Wars movie that's in the works.
Episode 7.
Episode 7, which
was the original plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The idea was to do all 9, but do 4 through 6 first, and then kind of, you know, fill in either side afterwards. I, you know, no matter what you think about the prequel movies, I'm amazed that 7 was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's greenlight that.
Well, I mean, the prequels may have gotten critically panned by the fans, but they made a boatload of money.
Yeah. Yeah,
they didn't pull a John Carter,
which I liked.
I liked that movie too.
We've discussed this before.
Yes.
Disney just
John Carter should have really been a thing. Yes. It was a thing.
Right, it was the first thing, really. Yeah. One of the first, like,
yeah, no John Carter, no Star Wars.
Now I'm sure Disney would rewrite that, you know, in some other way, but yeah, I think I'd heard that there was going to be a Star Wars live action TV show,
which now they could put that on ABC,
yeah,
since they own ABC,
right?
Maybe they put it on ESPN. The Star Wars sports show.
No, that's the after show that they have people, like, you know, talking about watching the show, which I think that would be sports enough to be on ESPN3, maybe. The Tray.
The Force is strong with this channel.
Oh, wow, you could have all sorts of
Star, like, Wars Center instead of Sports Center.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd watch that. Yeah. And Disney is pretty, I mean, they're obviously very savvy with the properties that they buy, anyway. Maybe not their own developed stuff, but I mean, there was that whole Avengers thing they did, you know, which apparently probably help pay for
for John Carter
John Carter and this little Star Wars enterprise thing that they're pulling together over here. I'm still amazed that Lucas is like, yeah, let's sell everything that I've done, because it's not like they're selling the rights to X, Y, and Z. It's everything.
I wonder how much of that decision came about because the expansion of Lucas Ranch was denied. Because I know they wanted to do this big expansion, making it this huge, even more state-of-the-art community. And the people in Marin said, no, we don't want you to build here. We don't want you to spend all your money here and help our economy. So how much of this is Lucas saying, all right, well, I'm going to take my toys and go home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he had already brought, was it Industrial Light and Magic that moved to the Presidio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know if that's included in the deal?
It's everything. It's
everything, right? Yeah.
So that part alone is going to be great for Disney, because now all the ILM does special effects for pretty much every movie.
Yeah.
It's either ILM or Weta.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of little studios.
Right, right.
But now that's all in-house.
Right.
So that's going to save them a boatload of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like having Pixar in-house now, right? I mean, they are able to do things like Wreck-It Ralph, which looks like a Pixar movie, but they're not putting the Pixar name on it. So it's a really interesting thing, because they can choose to brand it, you know, however they want. I mean, John Lasseter probably has a lot to do with that. You know, like saying that they want the Pixar imprint to stick for the stuff that Pixar did before Disney was connected to them. But I feel like that Pixar put their name on a couple new things. And, you know, we keep coming back to John Carter, and I want to say that was one of them.
Yeah. That was their Pixar's first live action.
Right. Right. So I think I don't know if they would do a similar thing with LucasArts, but probably. It would probably be like, yeah, they're not going to.
Well, they've done that with Marvel. I mean, it wasn't Disney's Avengers. Right. It was Marvel's Avengers.
Right.
Which I think is good, because that allows them to bring in people who are going to have some more creative control and that don't have to uphold that Disney image.
Yeah.
The Avengers was not a Disney movie.
No, right.
There was death and dying and lots of cool fight scenes. Which you're not going to see in it. Like, you get Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oof.
But that went downhill fast.
Well, so it'll be interesting to see what how they parcel out the, you know, the creative control over the stuff that's happening. Will they keep everyone pretty much as it is, and they're just using it as a intellectual property grab? And so, you know, they'll make all of the Star Wars, they'll make Star Wars money, essentially. Yeah.
Well, I like the idea that Lucas is giving over the reins, because creatively, just based on his last few efforts, his time is done.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice to give someone who I'm sure is going to be a fan of Star Wars, give them a chance to make something new.
Right. Yeah, because
and continue the franchise.
That was one of the things I really liked. After episode one came out, maybe even just before it, there was this like rush, and there probably still are some, but there was a definite rush to make fan-made Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were tons of...
That Stormtrooper like, Cops films. Parody?
Right.
That's
right.
Pretty good.
I mean, there were tons of short little films. And so, you know, it's in, you know, an entire generation and a half of people that have grown up with Star Wars. There's going to be more creative people that are going to come out of that and who've probably wanted, you know, an opportunity to do something with the intellectual property, but just have not been able to.
Well, I think it's a chance for them to do what Star Trek did, where they brought in some fresh faces. Because, I mean, the last however many Star Trek movies were all done by the same people.
Yeah.
Until Abrams brought in his guys and
yeah.
made some magic.
Added some lens flares here and
yeah.
there.
That's what I meant by magic, was lens flares.
But yeah, I think that would be good. I would like to see... I think the thing I'm most excited about from that is to see a Star Wars that is not Lucas-driven. Or at least not as... Maybe not Lucas-driven, but not one that Lucas has so...
One that's better written.
Direct of a... Yes.
Yeah. Better written dialogue?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think the he had too much direct creative control
mm-hmm.
over things, and he would tweak things. And I feel like some of it is legitimate, and some of it is just like, you're picking at a scab, and like, it's in the can. It's been in the can since 1977, right?
Right.
You know, here's a movie that, when it came out, was very good, and then you had the chance to update it, you know, with like, there was the Star Wars Special Editions, and it was like, we made a few changes, but not a whole lot. It was still pretty much the same movie.
Except for some glaring changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And lots of, and then so they changed it for the theater, and then they changed it for the DVD, like between the theater and the DVD. It's like, when is it done? It's not a living document. This is a movie. You put it in the can. People enjoy it as it was. I'm not a fan of the movie being like materially changed.
Yeah, it's one thing to clean something up and, you know.
Yeah,
make it look better,
or release an alternate cut,
right?
To say that, okay, this is the way I would have done it had I been given, you know, space and time.
Well, like what they did with the Raiders of the Lost Ark re-release, they just made it look nicer.
Yeah,
it was the same movie; they didn't change anything.
Right. So I think, you know, releasing it as it was released at the time really has a lot of value. I mean, it's a time capsule for how you know the movie was made, and I feel like that original version of it should stick. There currently, at least as far as I know, isn't a way to get that that print of the first Star Wars films.
I think they did actually release. It was a double disc, where it had the special edition and the original unedited version.
Oh, but it wasn't... But they haven't done
But they
that.
Did it individually, and yeah. It was
pre-Blu-ray.
Expensive. Yeah.
Right. So they haven't done it with Blu-ray.
No, not with Blu-ray. That was on right. DVD.
Right. Oh, wow. DVD. Blu-ray. Wow. So that's something... that's something we should leave for another show about Blu-ray media. I'll write this one down for another one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new IMAX, I don't know if you saw the announcement this week that Apple announced the new IMAX, and there's no optical drive. And so pretty much they don't have a main... Well, they have like a couple laptops that have an optical drive, but almost all of their gear...
It's all USB?
Drives. Well, it's USB or FireWire or whatever the you know, connector of the week is. But there's no way to get a DVD into a Mac now. Without buying a third party or...
That sounds like something Mac would do.
Hmm.
Maybe that's just a scam to get you to buy...
Buy it on iTunes?
Well, buy it on iTunes and, now you have to buy this other thing to make the thing that you already had work.
Possibly.
That's a very Apple move. What? No, we're changing the port on this, so you have to buy a whole new adapter to use the same product, which then we're going to stop supporting in a couple of years anyways.
Yep. Okay, we'll save that. We'll save that. Apple. Apple. Okay.
They don't have the don't be evil in their mission statement like Google.
They can be as evil as they want. Or have been. Or whatever.
Yeah. They're not held to a higher standard. Just has to look nice.
And it does look nice.
Pretty evil.
It does look...
Apple is pretty evil.
Nice. Ooh. I like this. I like this. Anyway.
They're never going to sponsor us.
Probably not. Although, you know.
If they wanted to, I'd totally sign that deal with the devil. I would. I'm saying they're the devil, but.
I mean, the term of phrase.
Yes.
Deal with the devil.
Yes.
Not the actual devil.
Although they could. I'm going to stop myself now.
Yeah, I think.
I'm going to stop digging.
You should jump over that. Jump over that. Okay. So Lucasfilm and Disney still kind of on that. The other thing, you know, besides kind of a Star Wars kind of revival of the stuff, a lot of things that I've seen, you know, already. I mean, it was only announced maybe
a few hours ago,
and I've already seen lots of kind of jokes online about all the mashups that could happen between all the different things. And I think my favorite one is that Princess Leia is now a Disney princess. Which is pretty...
Well, I was thinking they could do... there's that TV show Awake with Jason Isaacs, where he's living the two parallel realities. So you have that, but it's starring Harrison Ford. And in one life, he's Indiana Jones. And in the other life, he's Han Solo.
I love it.
And he can't tell which one is real. And then it turns out he's actually in Hollywood Homicide.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty good. That would be pretty good.
Wait, was Cowboys and Aliens a Disney movie?
Huh. We'll have to look that up. I don't know.
Yeah. Then you could even get that into... Yeah.
Excellent. The other thing that was, you could have, I mean, you could do so much with it. I mean, Pixar could be part of, like, the Lucasfilm family again. I mean, that was, Pixar came out of Industrial Light and Magic, and then Steve Jobs kind of pulled it away, and then when Disney bought Pixar... it got folded into that, but now, you know, Industrial Light and Magic is back. So, but Pixar has really evolved as its own kind of
higher quality product. It's like Best Buy and Magnolia.
right. You have to go to the Pixar store within the Industrial Light and Magic, like, you know, warehouse kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting that at Disneyland, for years, they've had an Indiana Jones ride and a Star Wars ride.
That's true.
And now they can make a straight-up Star Wars theme park like they did for Harry Potter.
Oh!
I heard something about that being a possibility.
Wow. Wow.
A whole park of Star Wars.
Oh my gosh. That is... We're going to have to take a break.
Where do I get in line? I'll get in line for the construction site.
Yeah. Wow. I had not... thought of that at all. That's fantastic.
You could have an Indiana Jones theme park.
Yeah.
Well, probably
I don't know if I'd want to go to an Indiana Jones theme park.
Just a bunch of snakes and rats and Shia LaBeouf. Oof. See, now they could do an Indiana Jones X-Men crossover, and they can kill Mutt or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Spend 2 minutes in a scene with Wolverine and
it would just be done. Right.
Well, did you also hear Matthew Vaughn dropped out of directing the First Class sequel?
Oh.
And Bryan Singer is coming back to direct the new X-Men. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
But as of now, and so Vaughn's going to produce and Singer's back to directing.
Okay.
Maybe he can... And they're going to do Days of Future Past as the movie storyline.
Wow. Wow. And then fold that into a theme park somehow. You could see, they haven't done any Marvel stuff at Disney parks yet. Oh. Yeah.
Hmm.
That could be pretty cool. Marvel. See, Marvel.
Superhero teams lend themselves to that great, because you could have each character has their own ride or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Still so excited about Star Wars.
You can build me a lightsaber?
Yeah. Oh, golly. Yeah, I have
lightsaber churros.
I love that about Disney, how they have all the different lands, and you go to all the different restaurants in there, and you're ordering different things, and it's the same cheeseburger and fries. They've just renamed it for the land that you're in. It's like, oh, these are future fries or whatever.
They could do each like land as a planet. So it's like, oh, here's the Endor part, here's the Hoth part, the Tatooine part.
Yep. Oh man, that sounded awesome.
You know they'd throw in a Naboo, but you know, every theme park has that one land where you're like, oh, you don't really need to go there.
What is that? It's kind of the is it the Frontierland?
Yeah, Frontierland.
Yeah.
So like you go through that to get to all the other cool stuff.
Yeah, right. Frontierland, I feel like there's Big Thunder Mountain and that's it.
That and there's the stand where you can shoot the gun.
Oh, the light.
The light guns.
Shooting gallery.
Yeah, the shooting gallery. Yeah,
that is pretty fun.
But having now shot real guns doesn't have quite that same thrill.
The magic is gone. So they could put I'm surprised they don't have that. They don't have like a Toy Story, like, you know, Woody's Ranch kind of thing. I don't know. I haven't been to Disneyland in a while. Maybe they do have.
They probably
like
do.
There. Yeah. Actually, I haven't been to Disneyland since they revamped the Star Tours ride.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Which supposedly is pretty cool.
I need to do that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a remote.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll, I'm writing that one down too.
Yes. Go to Star Tours for podcast. Write off as for tax purposes.
As podcast expense.
We'll need to run that by our accountant in Colorado.
Yeah, right. I think that might be a rough sell for mainly because we don't
make any money off the podcast.
We're probably losing money, actually, at this rate. I don't know.
I mean, technically, yeah.
If any of you would like to send us money.
Yeah. Money or scotch, we accept either.
Yes. Or other sponsorships of any kind.
Bacon.
Bacon.
We should have a moment of bacon on every podcast. We'll just take a moment to appreciate bacon.
Oh, so one thing that was interesting, if we're going to appreciate bacon. So I was in Barcelona for a week and change,
mm-hmm.
They had a breakfast, you know, built into the hotel, and so I ate there almost every day, and it was like eggs and whatever. It was actually a pretty nice breakfast buffet, but their bacon was this like soft, not crispy kind of ham thing, which I mean it was still good.
Is it like borderline Canadian bacon?
Yes. Mm. But it wasn't flat and round, so you knew that it was like they had tried to cook it in strips, but it wasn't like crispy. That was the thing that killed me. And I thought it was maybe a like that hotel or whatever, and I talked to a couple other people. And they had a similar experience at their hotel, and I went to, you know, a restaurant, and they gave me the English menu. I don't know how they knew that I wasn't speaking Spanish right away, but they gave me the English menu, and it was like, this is bacon, and then it was the same, and I actually asked them at that point, and apparently it's just not customary there to do crispy bacon, and I was floored. I've never, other than Canadian bacon, I had not heard of bacon being done.
And I mean, you can just shrug that off because they're Canadian. But
yeah.
Come on.
So yeah. Bacon in Barcelona, not a thing.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah. that there were a few other things there that worked out though. So yeah. I think on the balance, it's a very small kind of downside.
It's not going to prevent me from trying to go to Spain. But you don't cook your bacon crispy? I mean, I'm sure that bacon's better than any bacon you would get in, say, Israel. It'd be probably hard to find some good bacon there.
Probably a lot harder, yeah.
It's true.
Oh, golly. So are we good with the LucasArts-ness?
LucasArts.
Actually, so that's one other thing that I'm kind of wrapping my head around. So LucasArts is the game company, the mm-hmm. Lucasfilm kind of built or
Lucas Limited
pulled together. Yeah, and I don't know if they still use that imprint for anything, but I would really like to see a good Star Wars game come back. I know that Knights of the Old Republic was good, and there's a current Star Wars like massive multiplayer online.
That's the same company that did Knights of the Old Republic.
Right.
It did the Old Republic.
Right. Right. But I really want just the space combat, the TIE fighter,
something like X-Wing a new game. X-Wing game.
Yeah. I love the...
Well, I think maybe they haven't really promoted that because there weren't X-Wings in a Star Wars movie for, like, 30 years.
That's true.
They didn't have them in the prequels.
That's true.
We got pod racing.
Oh.
No X-Wings, no TIE Fighters, but we got pod racing.
Wow. Golly. Okay, anyway. Well, enough of that. We'll move. We're going to move on. We're going
to... I do have one more question.
Yeah.
It's nice to think of the possibilities of how they could take this creatively. And now that they'll have this force of the whole Disney Corporation and all that money to make... Mm-hmm. I mean, now they could pretty much make anything you could imagine into a movie.
That battle station is fully operational.
Yeah. That's no moon. It's a movie. But is that a good thing creatively? It, for the industry as a whole to have one company,
the consolidation
of that. I mean, you're going to get bigger scale, greater things out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, I mean, that's great. You'll see 3 or 4 movies a year that are going to be amazing, theoretically. But then, what's that going to do to smaller scale?
Yeah.
They're just going to corner the market, and
again, I think it comes back to our. You know, broadcast versus niche kind of thing. And I think Disney and you know, they have a lot of experience with hitting the nail on the head for the wide reaching, like, I'm going to appeal to a very large audience kinds of movies. And I think they're good at that, and that's fine. But I think the creative output of smaller places is still going to be around, and there will be, I think, more of a need for it kind of on an ongoing basis, because as these, you know, as the bigger companies consolidate, they're spending kind of more and more, but that means less and less movies, you know, come out of that. And so mm-hmm. there's a vacuum of just content. And I think people do want to see,
is that going to push more content, even more content towards the internet, you think?
I think so. I think that's, I mean, it's already been kind of,
it's already moving in that direction.
Yeah.
But I mean, this could be a move that really...
Oh, sure. Right. I mean, you know, going to the theater, at least for me, I know personally that going to the theater is kind of reserved for stuff that plays well in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, a very kind of, you know, intimate drama about, you know, some people, you know, on a boat, you know, like kind of a, like huddling together and trying to, you know.
Yeah, like Titanic.
I knew it. I knew you were going there. I knew it.
Yeah, oh. Small scale movie, you oh. know, intimate character drama.
Oh, I knew it. Okay, anyway, what I meant was...
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, good job. The,
You had to go with the boat.
Right. A talker, like a movie that where it's based more on characterization and you know, human connection, I mean, honestly, versus something that's much more, you know, effects driven. Not that Avengers wasn't human driven, because I mean that's what drew you into the characters, and I thought that was done really well. But
that's because Joss Whedon is a genius.
That's true too. But the thing that that was different about Avengers versus, you know, I can't think of another movie that would be like, oh, I would watch that in not in a theater and be fine. I mean, that's the thing, is like, if I am going to go see it in a theater, because the theater experience is quite expensive. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing where it's like, well, it should be,
need to see King's Speech in a theater.
There you go.
Okay. You could see that. I mean, I saw it in the theater, but I didn't need to.
Well, so the need to see in a theater kind of criteria for me are
big boom.
Right. I have an okay TV, a good TV, and a good sound system, but it's obviously not an IMAX, like, blowing stuff up kind of thing. If I know in advance that the 3D is done well and not just a money grab for, you know, my you know, an extra $4 on my ticket price on the way in, then mm-hmm. then I will see it in the theater. But for the most part, and some comedy. I think comedy is the only one that kind of gets away where it doesn't need, you know, a big screen and a, you know, and a
but the way you do go see a comedy movie in the theater is because of that whole social,
yes,
zeitgeist of,
right,
being part of that collective, you know,
yeah, because
being in on the jokes,
exactly,
you want to get left behind,
right. I mean, that's the only time where I am more, I feel like I'm more free to let my reaction be more outspoken. You know, I mean, like, you laugh. You give yourself permission to laugh. When I'm at a movie that's really good, I will lean in and be like, what's that? And I'll, like, bring my hand to my face and kind of a, like, oh, what's next? Kind of a thing. But that's really as far as as far as it goes. So I mean, even I, you know, I, it's being moved by movies is it doesn't require a big screen and sound, but I think there are movies that do require that big screen and sound, and so I think those I reserve, which I think Disney will do fine at. I mean, the movies that you know, they've pushed out through Marvel, and then the ones that they're probably going to push out through Lucasfilm, you know, really lend themselves to that, and they're going to do fine at doing that. But mm-hmm. I think, again, because they are consolidating and they are pulling those things, they're going to be doing more of the, you know, eggs in one or two baskets kinds of things, which is, you know, risky for them. But it also means that, you know, the different content outlets will still be there and flourish. I mean, that's still going to be very competitive. So, yeah. Disney buying Lucasfilm, I think a good thing from a
consumer standpoint.
Yeah, I think
but from a creator standpoint, maybe still not determined.
Yeah, I think
to be determined.
I think from a consumer standpoint, there's going to be a lot more interesting kinds of things that come out of who's doing what or who's directing what. I mean,
if they go and use the Timothy Zahn stories for episodes 7, 8, and 9. It gets my full support.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I was a huge Heir to the Empire fan.
Yeah.
And it was Heir to the Empire,
Dark Force Rising, and then Last Command. Yeah. If they turn those into the movies,
I'll
get in line right now. Pixar. Put out that press release, I will get in line.
Pixar behind, like, you know, all of that kind of good stuff.
What they could, because they said that they want to continue the story of the main characters, mm-hmm. right? So they could make it an animated movie, like Pixar quality animation with the voice work of the original actors.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do a lot. They could really do a lot with
yeah.
with how that would work. That'd be fantastic. Cool. So they get
just as long as they keep Randy Newman away from Star Wars.
Oh, I
Uncle Owen buying some droids.
Have you heard of Paul and Storm?
Yeah.
Have you seen them do the Randy Newman themes?
No.
I'll have to link it afterwards, okay. And we'll look at it afterwards. We don't have enough time.
Oh yeah, think about that.
We'll pull it together. So, well, we have a little bit of time, but I'm not going to look it up and play it. But I might include one at the end of the podcast, or at least link something. They're great. Really, really good.
So Randy since Newman. Today, as we record, it is now October 30th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is a big candy day.
Yeah. Halloween. All Hallows Eve. For those that are like unbearably Christian, it is actually it is actually somewhat related to a big Christian feast day, Catholic feast day. So, how that gets translated into candy is,
and it's a big day for Marvel, Disney, and Lucas characters. Because you're going to see a lot of their characters walking the streets tomorrow night.
Probably.
See a lot of Iron Mans.
I wonder if there's going to be any mashup costumes, if anyone's going to be on that.
Iron Man with a lightsaber. That
cultural twist, like right away. We'll see.
Maybe not from the kids, but I'm sure there's going to be some people in their 20s.
Yeah.
Or 30s. Equally viable.
Thanks.
Don't want to be ageist.
Thanks, Brendan. Thank you. So candy, I like candy. I don't eat it a lot, but when we were trying to figure out like what candy we would give out to kids, we knew we wanted to be like that. You're house.
Your house is the cool house.
Yeah, we wanted it to be the cool house. So we give away full-size Hershey's candy chocolate.
Full-size candy bars.
Yes, the full-size bars, which I know that I always appreciated getting when I was a kid.
I don't think I ever got that.
I remember getting full-size, because you know how there was like mini size of like the different...
the precursor to fun size?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It would be like... like if you bought Almond Joy, and instead of being like the two in there, they just like cut it in half and they gave you one of them or whatever. And I think that I remember the shift to that when I was back in my day when I was trick or treating. I remember noticing that kind of change. But for the most part, the pre-bought, you know, the fun size kind of chocolates were the rage. You know, if you couldn't get a full-size bar, was still pretty good because at least it was a chocolate you were kind of familiar with.
Yeah, it's getting nice little Snickers or whatever.
Yeah, so did you like the fun-size ones or did you like the individually wrapped, like, smaller ones that were their own?
Well, whichever one's bigger.
Okay.
I'm going to choose that one. Whatever can increase, just from child Brendan point of view,
yeah,
whatever increases my candy count... I'm for that.
Right. And were you always chocolate or did it move around?
I mean, that's what I liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Reese's cups or your, you know, Milky Ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snickers.
I was a big fan of the York peppermint patties.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And the Reese's. The mini peanut butter cups I liked. I actually like those. I've always liked those more than the full-size peanut butter cups. There was just something about having the little foil, and you could kind of just, you know, pop the whole thing in your mouth, and it was very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, say, they've got those Twix that are just like the one stick.
Hmm.
That's depressing. I mean, Twix is one of my favorite candy bars, but just to get one...
Wow, that's enough. Surprising because
it's rare.
Twix.
I don't think that lasted that long.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the candies I remember seeing that were there were always a couple families that were giving away like the weird candy that was like Good and Plenty's. Like, no one gives those away. Those are that's odd. That's just straight up odd.
Or those even taste like things that look like peanuts. They look like foam peanuts.
Yes, the circus peanuts.
Yeah, I've never actually eaten one. Those are always that's the candy that would get left in my candy bag, and then after a month, it'd be like, all right, let's just throw this away. I'm not even going to just waste my time.
I liked Nerds. But I don't remember really getting them at Halloween as much. I remember getting them at other kinds of like candy giveaway times,
pinata situations.
Yeah, yes. And I remember thinking that when I grew up, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get like a big Nerds box, because they were like the tiny Nerds box, which was like the one flavor, and then the two flavor ones. And then there was one that was, like, wider, and it had two flavors. One on each side, and then, like, one in the middle, too.
And instead of doing that,
you could open all the tops up and just, like, knock it back and get all of that. Yeah.
Instead of doing that, we just became Nerds.
Yeah.
Instead of buying Nerds the candy.
I think that worked out.
Yeah.
I didn't need that much candy. But the other candy that was in that kind of realm that, like, I never really got... as a giveaway was what are they called? Pop Rocks.
Oh yeah.
I remember again, that's another pinata candy.
Yeah, it's more of a pinata candy than a Halloween candy.
It's not a Halloween candy, but I remember really blowing my mind when I the first time I had Pop Rocks.
I'm pretty sure that the whole razor blades and poison in the candy thing is a big scam run by parents so they can raid your candy stash.
Not impossible.
Because I was trick-or-treating, you know, for at least a decade, and I never encountered any sort of harmful things, but I lost a good percentage of my candy to my mom. And, oh...
In the interest of personal safety,
right? So I'm getting shook down for my safety. It's like, oh yeah, I'll check your candy and make sure it's safe, but I gotta take a cut. The parent candy really, mafia.
Really, really shame if anything happened to all this candy that was.
Well, if you just let me die from the candy, it would all be yours. Go ahead.
That's the tack I should have taken.
But now we're adults and we can buy candy whenever we want.
Yes, exactly.
Which I could.
We don't have to go out and buy candy of like weird one-off kinds of like situations. You go
beg for candy. That's a weird thing, going begging door to door.
Yeah.
Please give me your candy. Yeah. But you say it, trick or treat.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture that was, the caption for the whole thing was giving candy away. And it was two panels. And the first panel was October 31st. Good. November 1st, bad. I think for candy that I really liked that I never got was any kind of licorice. And I think that's probably because it's harder to give away licorice. It's
not individually packaged.
Right. Right, it's not made for individual package. You have to.
Now, are you talking black licorice or like red ropes or red licorice?
I think any kind of licorice, but I'm a black licorice kind of guy, which
I don't understand.
Yeah, I like black licorice and black jelly beans and candy corn.
Well, candy corn is awesome.
Yeah, but again, you don't really get candy corn as a giveaway. Because it's too small. I mean, maybe they'll give, like, the little packet of, like...
Well, that you know, that like, was always the sweet scores. If someone had taken the time to individually bag some candy corn and hand that out.
I do like candy corn. I did buy a, like, huge size bag of candy corn one year. And I was kind of portioning it out, like, as a... Like, I'll just have some candy corn here and there. And I figured out what it is that makes it taste so good, and it's got honey in it.
Really?
So it's pretty much just sugar-coated sugar, which is fine.
Sounds right to me.
It's good, right? Exactly. Well, I think it's getting time for us to figure out like how to, you know, sneak some of the candy out of the giveaway bowl.
Yeah, we gotta test it to make sure it's safe for the kids before we start handing it out.
Exactly. So everyone, you know, be safe, especially all you folks in the wake of the mega super ultra storm happening out on the East Coast. I hope everyone's doing well and hunkering down, listening to all the old episodes of the podcast in the meantime. Yeah.
Well, if you've got some time, next month, in a couple days, is the start of November, which you may or may not know is National Novel Writing Month.
Yes.
NaNoWriMo.
Yep.
And I would like to issue a challenge to you, sir.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to attempt...
Oh my gosh. All right. So I am going to preliminarily accept this challenge. I tried this last year. I don't know if I told you.
Yes.
I was able to write. So the premise of National Novel Writing Month is that you will write 1,000 words every day. Is it 1,000 words or?
I think the total in the month is supposed to be like 50,000.
Okay, so it's something like
you're supposed to hit 50,000 words by the end of the month.
Right. So it's something like however that math works out. You know,
I think it's like 1,500 or something.
Right. And so you're supposed to do that per day or, you know, and it's a lot of words. Like that's serious. I think I was able to write for not even 2 weeks. It was 10 days. Because I didn't make it through the second weekend, because I had been putting off a couple of the days, and I'm like, I'll just catch it up on the weekend. And
then
it was gone. It was gone. So I'll preliminarily say I'm going to do it, and I may do a little bit of pre-writing this time, because last time I did none.
But I think it would be good that if we're both going to do it, that will be, you know, something we can address on the podcast. That could be a running update.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we hold each other accountable.
Hopefully. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to do my best. I'm also...
Not to put you on the spot on the record.
But thank you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. It's the only way to excel is through a personal shame and embarrassment, I think. It's a great motivator.
It should be a thing.
Yes. So we'll link that, and if I'm hoping that Scrivener, the writing software, is sponsoring it again this year. It's a really cool platform. If you're a writer, and they don't sponsor us. So, but they could.
Nobody sponsors us, but yes. They could.
Yes, but it's a really cool writer toolbox because it lets you kind of outline and. When you click on the different cards in the outline, they store everything in these things that look like index cards. And when you click on them, it'll flip around and it'll have like the pertinent information from that. And if you click on it again, it'll go to the page that you can write that comes from that card. And so you can outline your thing, your novel or screenplay or whatever you want to write, and then drill down into each of the sections and flesh it out in that way, which I thought was a really good way to do it. I just didn't have an outline, so it was a little rough. It was more, at one point it was more like stream of consciousness novel writing month.
Hey, that's acceptable.
Yeah, I think.
Because you're not supposed to edit.
Right.
This is just write. Right, get the words down
the
on
point
the page.
The point is to just, you know, go for volume, which I could probably do if I really, really wanted to. But there might be some heavy copy and paste. We'll see. So the other thing I'm doing this coming month, which I don't know how you feel about it, is Movember. So I'm going to grow a mustache out over the course of November. And I did this last year and it worked fine. And so I'm going to try and get a couple people from work. I don't know if you would like to join me in this challenge.
Well, here's the thing. Not to sound like a wuss after I just laid that in the gauntlet at your feet. But I did... grow a mustache for a month last month.
Okay.
And I look like a pedophile. So
Fair enough.
So I think that, just based on previous experience,
I think it's perfectly fine to...
Maybe I should recuse myself from that one. I mean, if you want to really push it, I'll do it. But okay. I'm just saying, it's not a good look for me.
Accidentally looking like a pedophile, not a thing.
Yes, pedophiles, not a thing. Write your congressman.
Yeah. Seriously, write them, like right now, about pedophile. Okay. That's not going to be the last word we say on the podcast.
No.
We'll figure something out. And I might insert a Pollen Storm like riff into it. And then we'll see you next week in November, where there will be so much other stuff happening and probably updates about NaNoWriMo. So
yeah, so I guess until next time.
Head on.